look at this on grave markers, I've looked at it and wondered about it. It's a message, isn't it? It's like an epitaph, which is a message generally from someone that an epitaph is someone who's died and written this down and want this on their gravestone. But I don't know if you call this an epitaph or not. Is that the right word? It doesn't sound right for some reason. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? So when I look at this, R.I.P., rest in peace. Who's the message for? Who's writing the message? What's that all about? Maybe we should just have an exercise. What do you think about it? Who's writing the message? What's that message conveying to us? And what do you think about it? What's happening? Ricky?
It's not the one who's the buried that has requested that. It's usually the loved one that says, oh, yeah, please put that on there. And in a lot of cases, maybe that person did have some turmoil, and so their request for that RIP is genuine and saying, you know, Aunt Mary really needs to rest in peace now. And again, it's some people put it on, put RIP on there somewhere. You know, it's an afterthought and not thinking the thing through. And it's also from the loved ones are trying to send a message. I hope now you rest in peace. And it's kind of a connection. I hope one day I'll rest in peace also. And so it's kind of a I hope you're okay dealing with this situation. You're not in a place where there's not any rest.
Okay, you see that. It's probably traditional as it is now, isn't it? Sometime or other, maybe it was not traditional. But it has the idea of believing something, doesn't it? You wouldn't picture an atheist, so to speak. An atheist, you wouldn't see that person writing that, would you? Because that's saying... Atheist would be saying there must be some kind of life after death, isn't it? Who's ever thinking about that? So it seems to come from either those that believe in God and believe in the life after this, or as you were talking about, Rick, people have different reasons to put that on there, a sentiment that helps them as much as anyone else to think about their loved one. But that seems to be instilled in us some way. A lot of psychologists that look at these things, and especially the ones that don't have any faith in God, don't believe in God, and they think all these things that we do traditionally is something that happened a long time ago when we were ignorant. And we were dumb with things and didn't know any better, and that's how we believe in God and everything else. But sitting here, none of us feel that way. We don't think we believe in God out of ignorance because we're some dummies and our families taught us dumb things and we believed it. And none of us feel that way, I don't think. I hope not. I don't feel that way. But the point that I'm getting at is that we need rest. The past 24 hours, just think about it. past 24 hours. Got that? Are there any of you that have not experienced some kind of stress in the last 24 hours? Some kind of stress. You're just not raising your hand, or are all saying none of us, or all of us have experienced some kind of stress in the last 24 hours? I could start narrowing it down last 12 hours. And still maybe it'd be those that would be thinking about it and know that they have been through some kind of stress. Doesn't that say something to you? It says something to all of us. And again, I go back to the point that when you really think about life, when we look at it, think about our days that we have lived, we see that we need rest. And I'm not talking about physical rest that much. Sometimes we have trouble with sleep. I do, and everyone does occasionally. And sometimes people really have a problem sleeping all the time. That would be very difficult. But that sleep God has given us to be physically rested for the next day. Really have rested from what we've labored at and whatever. But and sleeping does something toward that end, even that gives us some rest. But God has promised us rest. And in promising us rest, God is automatically saying, that this life is full of stress. And that we will need that rest when it comes. See what I'm talking about? The thing is, stress, I've realized here just relatively recently as I grow older. For some reason, I had it in my head that maybe growing older, things had let up a little bit. You're laughing? You know, you talk about retirement. I mean, what's retirement? Wow. I mean, things letting up a little bit. Is that right? So I've had to rethink this thing. Because stress still is haunting my life. And you know, what's even worse, I'm not any better at it than I thought I was. At times I thought I could manage it and do better at it. But age has brought on some other things. It's just a new crop of stress. And maybe you can relate this. Maybe you'd like to talk about some of the things. But my idea of talking about this morning is that we'll look at some scriptures. And I hope instead of letting you down in my effort, that I can build you up and encourage you in this, so that you leave with something better than just knowing, well, I'm always going to be stressed out, and the last word's going to be R.I.P. rest in peace. That's going to be the last word of it all. Because there are encouraging words in the Scripture, isn't it? But you know, if we're not really careful, scriptural verses, so to speak, can become just a platitude for many people when we try to express it or quote it to others. Have you ever had the scriptures quoted to you in a very trying, stressful time? All of us probably have. But you have to think about, how did I take it at that time? What's some just everyday platitudes, not scriptural things, that you hear all the time that are rather meaningless and they don't help very much, but good intentioned people say them thinking that they may relieve some of the stress. I know I use them. I'm going to try to take a lot of those out of my vocabulary. I'm going to try to think about it so that I'm not using those things as much. And because the way they do when they, I listen to them for myself, how they make me feel. What are some platitudes? It's going to get better in time. Anything else? Now, I'm not saying these platitudes may have a lot of truth in them, but I'm talking about trying to use them as a means to encourage people in the times of their stress. We've got to look, I think, at different ways to make this happen. We got to look at ourselves and become better Christians, better at loving, and not be so short of things and try to make it so easy for ourselves, because it isn't. I've used this one, and this is not for anybody as far as stress goes, but I've used this, and I know, and it's not rocket science. You ever use that one? Yeah. Not rocket science. What am I saying or trying to say is dummy. I mean, this is nothing that's going to take an engineering degree. It's something very simple. So you can see that that's a wrong thing to say, really. Not rocket science. And you generally don't say it to the person. You're talking to someone else about this. You say, it's not rocket science. Why can't they figure it out? So platitudes doesn't do very well. And I'm asking myself, and maybe asking you, think about the things you're going to say to those, because every one of us are stressed. And the odd part about this is that we can have the best of times and the worst of times, and they will be stressed. It seems to have taken place when Adam and Eve left the garden. That's, to me, the time that it took place, because they had everything in the garden. They had nothing to be stressful for, because they were right in unity and in fellowship with God Almighty, right there. And that's when we say rest and peace. Really, that's what we're thinking about. I'm thinking about, anyway. I'm going to be reunited with my Creator, with God, with Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a unity that really gives me rest. You see? But it's God that made this unrest. And it's a curse of man. And He told Adam, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to leave this garden, and that's the way it's going to be. You're going to be hassled with thorns and thistles and every other thing. You're not going to just be able to attend that tree by picking the fruit off of it and getting it ready for the next season. You're going to be contending with everything else that goes along with it. And for the lady, he says, or and child then. It's really strange. This is a strange thing. But and that's true, and we can see it. That is true for the women, but it goes far beyond just the birth. It's the offspring themselves. You know, a mother looking at their offspring all their life.
And worrying about it.
Yes, stress. Stress again. So God has seen this, and there is a problem. But His promise is that there will be rest. When I try to look at my own life and try to make it different from God's Word, and I told you I thought maybe aging I could escape some of these things. And I have escaped some things, but I've had probably 3 or 4 more added to it. Different. And one of the things is that I didn't comprehend. I don't know about you, I'm talking about me now, but I think it is a natural thing. The older I get, the more sensitive I get. And I'm telling you, I anticipated that. What I'm saying is that the more I know God's way, the more knowledge, the more wisdom that I gain, the more sensitivity I have toward others, the more I can care about someone, and the more I fear for that, because you ever heard love is tough? Does that apply to you? Love is tough means, though, that you discipline someone in a way of loving them. But I look at it, love, just plain love, is tough. And you really become sensitive to the needs of others. It's stressful. I don't know how else to talk about that. That's an odd thing. You'd think the more you love, the better things would be. And that's what we always say. But we're living in a world that doesn't give us that ultimate thing that we're looking for, the rest that we're looking for. We're living in the real world. As that we can love and others don't reciprocate and other things are happening all the time. But if there's some way that you could take yourself out of the world and go live by yourself way in God's beautiful creation in the mountains I picture and somewhere and not have anything to do with anybody else, maybe I get out of this stressful situation, you think? We're not made to live alone, for one thing, but I don't think that's going to take us out of the stress. Because then we'll be stressed out because nobody cares for us. We're all alone. We need something. We need rest. We need rest. Ray?
I wonder if there is a certain amount of stress that we endure in the general
sense. Yeah.
I mean, there are some things you can have no control over, but there's still a lot of things that go on in our lives that we can have some control over.
Yes. And you wonder sometimes how some people can get through what they have to deal with. And you put yourself in that situation, and you wonder if you could be as successful. What happens? Well, stress then causes things that you don't like. If you just have stress, that's okay. It's not okay. But it's something that we are going to open this door. I think we're going to have to open this one. Thank you. So stress, if we can manage it, it won't cause things that we don't want to, but I found also that it's a thing that builds up inside me. And it's just a thing that's getting ready to sort of explode. If you're not careful, what's happening in your life, if you're not looking at the things that sort of relieve that it can erupt. And you don't want that, because then it hurts someone else. And it's like Ray, I believe we do bring a lot of things on ourselves, but all of us have a lot of help. We have a lot of help from each other. That's why we have a lot of the stress maybe that's not necessary. One, Hebrews, in the letter to Hebrews, God is talking about rest. You've read this probably many times. And the argument is that there is a rest. Evidently, the writer of Hebrews is trying to explain that God hasn't provided the rest yet. Even look at the children of Israel with the promised land, given the promised land. That it says that Joshua didn't provide them with rest. They went into the promised land. They had the land of milk and honey, so to speak. And God was with them and provided an awful lot for them. And you know, you can read in the Deuteronomy, and especially that book right there, because it relates to God's promise to the children of Israel. And it is absolutely amazing what God promised Israel. Have you ever looked at that? It's almost like if you do this, God tells them, it's like where you're living will be like Eden. Look at it and see if that's not true. Because he says, I will help you in every way. I will help you in your sickness. There, he virtually says there will be no more. If the children of Israel would just stand steadfast in the commandments and the love of the Lord. Look at those promises. They're amazing. But it says then that Israel did not hold their end of the bargain. In Hebrews, it says in the third chapter, it talks about, though, that there was one that is faithful, and that was Jesus. He was a faithful one. But looking at the children of Israel, they were not faithful. In the seventh verse, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You should be able to learn something from that, shouldn't you? 12th verse, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Talking about the children of Israel. And then he goes on and we get the promise of this rest in chapter 4, this rest. He's convinced us and he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Down in the 6th verse. Since therefore it remains that some must enter in, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. So there is a promise of rest for us, and we can continue this study. I think it's a wonderful study. A lot of things to look at and think about. But the solution then, the solution, the thing, the factor, is not just a platitude, but it's a workable thing. The solution to stress is to have faith in God. You ever think about that? Yes. And I'm not, and I think we all realize that a lot of our stress is caused by our own attitude toward life, our own way of looking at things. If we could just convince a lot of the people of the world of these things, we would be saving a lot more by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by teaching and preaching this, because, again, the solution to stress management, anyway, is faith. The odd thing that we teach about faith in a mannerism is that it's like maybe a one-time happening. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as Son of God, and there's my faith. I believe in Him. And there it is. But we know that isn't it. Yes. Mm-hmm. I could agree with you more. And that is a thing.
No matter what, my faith has always brought me back home. I mean, I've went through different denominations. I went to different churches, seeking something that the Church of Christ wasn't providing for. But no matter what, that you see upon this rock, I shall build my church, has brought me back home. And you gotta have faith in our youth that even though they go out and take the product from, they go out and experience the world, then they come back. And when they come back with full force. And God is faithful to the world.
Yes.
Our society has gotten away from scripture, from the Bible, from the Bible, from God's word.
Things are happening.
And so now a Marshall Peter who come into this society and he won't baptize many people because they don't use that book as the same as our parents and our grandparents.
Well, let's look at it from the standpoint, for sure, of faith. And as we all have trouble with stress in our lives, we also have trouble with faith. And we need to look at it, and we need to admit it. You need to look within yourself. As a preacher, I preach, but I'm awfully tempted sometimes to be preaching at you and telling you how to manage and correct your life when I'm not looking at me. You see, and that. But I realize that I'm part of the problem too. Realizing more of that. The thing is, faith is something that grows. It's not just a piece in time that you grab. But it's something that has to be accumulative. It grows in your life. When Jesus said in the midst of his disciples, "Oh, you of little faith," what was he talking about? He's talking about your faith should be growing. He wasn't saying that they didn't have any faith. He's saying that that faith was not growing like it should. And those are the things that we don't look at enough because we treat things with so many or so much platitude in our life. That is, it doesn't have the meaning that it should. And this is part of the reason I like the old hymns. And you notice I sing most of them because I don't know I don't know the new praise songs, so to speak. And I sang the old ones, but you look at those old ones. Look at the song, "I Surrender All." I mean, look at the words of that and sing it. How many of you sing that honestly? Honestly. "I Surrender All." Now, when it comes to there, then you are allowing God to help you in this stressful condition. And everything that's going on, even if you're getting stressed out by the problems within the church, that we're losing the young people and all that, that is a stressful thing to me because it just troubles me to no end that there are kind of things happening, right?
I think it does trouble us because I wasn't comforted. I have to examine the scripture. I have to continue to help keep myself motivated and give myself up. Because it's not up to anybody else. It's not up to the preacher. It's up to me. You know, I can't go to heaven on somebody else's death. Right.
You're right.
And I have to ask you those things. But I am disappointed that our young folks are not as faithful as they did. They've lost all identity. All identity. And that's the right word, I think, to use.
But it couldn't be because that we accept things as they are, and we don't grow in this faith.
I think with our children nowadays, a lot of it, yes, they are raised in the church and we teach them at home, but they are growing up in such a permissible world that we didn't have in our generation. You know, things that we would have been ashamed of, now it's a common thing, and the world don't think nothing of it, you know. So the only hope we have is that we have instilled God's word within our children, that they will reach a point where they see whatever the world is offering out here is not what it's cracked up to be. I need to return back to God and what I have been taught by my parents and by my church.
See,
I agree with the lady back here. It begins at home. These few hours here that we bring our children, we put such a big emphasis on school teaching and you have to have good academic grades and all, but how much emphasis are we putting on our children? How important it is to also study God's Word and to be in God's Word. I would venture to say most of us are not as diligent with that as we are with academic type work with our children.
Well, I can see, just bringing this up, why you're stressed out. About what? The things in your life that are stressing you. And these are important things. But I want us to go back, because this is where it's important. It's what I am doing. Now, sure, we know as parents what we should do and all what we should have done. We got all this. But it's how I'm looking at things and how I'm being looked at. It's very important in my life. I don't have time. Our time's already up. But before we go, I wanted to read some of these things. I got this off the internet now. Off the internet. The internet is wonderful in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it's terrible. But I found this on the internet just from looking up stress. And some good person put this on there, and it's just scriptures. But he's got in there where it's helpful or not helpful. Vote. So anybody reads this would vote. I can't read all these scriptures. It's a lot of scriptures. But I'm going to read to you just three of them here that were the most popular, read and thought of by most people who read this blog, of how helpful it is among them. The more people that responded to, yes, this is helpful. And you'll recognize these. Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Now, that was the most one. The highest one responded to, yes, helpful. The next one, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." This is Jesus speaking in John 14. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." That was foremost in most of these readers' minds as helpful. And of course, what do we got to do? You got to figure out what is that peace that Jesus is leaving. If you don't figure this out, it isn't going to be help. I mean, Jesus just said that. What peace is he leaving us? The third one is in Psalms 55. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." I'll one more. I'd like to read all these, but we're running out of time. In Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the top four scriptures that people are responding to in this blog, say that they were more helpful than all the others, and I've got two or three pages full of scriptures here. But I think, I appreciate your attention, but I think we need to examine those things more. And we look at problems, if I can do this, we look at problems out there, and we're saying, look at what they're doing, look at what's happening out there, look at the problems of our youth and what's happening with them, and we're forgetting about me. Not forgetting about me, but sort of neglecting me. You see? And if we would start looking at this thing, and I guarantee you, the more you get into this and the older you get, you're just going to trade one stress for another stress. But in God's keeping, you learn to manage these things because Jesus did, didn't he? What a stressful situation we had, but he managed it, and he teaches us how. So thank you for your attention this morning. But go home understanding that there is great hope and there is rest waiting for each of us. No matter how worn we get and stressed out we get in this world, God is providing something for us, but we got to stand steadfast. I surrender all. I and believe that and act upon. I surrender all and act upon. Thank you for your time.